Listening to you, me, them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I'm sitting here in my beautiful West End apartment with Jeremy Tromberg.
Hello.
And we're just been figuring out how we know each other. So in 2004, Jeremy hosted a radio show on the radio station where I was program director. Is this correct?
Yes, that is correct.
How did I know you in 2004?
Because I knew Esmeralda.
Because you knew Esmeralda. So I met you through a mutual friend who has been on the show, I might say. Yes or no?
I've never heard her.
Not her, not that part, but is that how we know each other? Like, for sure?
Yes.
Okay, so I've known you for
roommates with Kelsey, and you were.
And I was dating Kelsey, and right. I still am.
Right.
Okay, so I've known you for like 5 years then.
Right.
And the only reason why we probably know each other now is you used to drink more consistently at the bar I work at.
Right.
Yeah. So far, this whole series has just developed into me like realizing I only know people that drink alcohol.
What does that say about you?
It means I like to party all the time.
Right.
My girl also likes to party all the time. Anyways, Jeremy is a wonderful piano player. Do you consider yourself a piano player or a keyboard player?
I would say a keyboard player.
Well, you're a wonderful keyboard player, and maybe six months ago, I was closing the bar, and Jeremy, there was very few people left, and Jeremy decided to play piano, and it was wonderful. And he entertained me with show tunes for like a half an hour. And
show tunes?
People just yelled out stuff, and you would play it. It was wonderful. Anyways, you're in a band, or was in a band?
I am in two bands.
What are the bands? If you want to say it, don't say it.
One of them, I'll probably ask for your help later, because we're trying to figure out a name for our band.
That's the hardest thing in the world, my friend.
It is annoying.
But yeah.
It's me and this guy and a drummer.
Okay.
Guy, he's a great singer. He's in another band called Cadillac Rope, which used to be Jesus and the Devil.
Wait. How do you know those guys?
Through Mazzola, who works at the Double Door.
That's hilarious. Those guys, I've played with Cadillac Rope. I've played with Jesus and the Devil multiple times.
Really?
I wore a Jesus and the Devil shirt in a religious museum in Amsterdam and didn't realize why I was getting dirty looks for like the first half hour. No, I've known those guys for like 5 years as well.
Crazy.
It is a small world. Anyways, so is it the lead singer from J&D or the rhythm guitarist?
Lead singer.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Okay, continue, please.
Wow. It almost seems like we would have known each other if without Esmeralda in some
inevitably way. Yes.
It's interesting how that works out.
Yeah, okay, but continue.
It's me and this guy, Chris Oakes.
Okay.
And the drummer, Mazzola. And I'm sort of the bass player / keyboard player.
Wait. The drummer, Mazzola, is that the guy from in Lasers?
Lasers and Fast and Shit?
Yeah, that guy. That band is awesome, too.
I have yet to see a show.
I've heard so many things about them, though. I saw them in, I think, last August for the Twin Rex last show. That was wonderful. Sorry. So I know both of those guys. Next.
All right.
What does that mean?
It's like the Twilight Zone theme.
This is the Twilight Zone. It's just a small world. It's incestuous, if anything else. And what's the other band?
The other band is sort of... I think we did call each other Bell and Howell, but...
That's okay.
We realized that's a camera company, and we didn't want to get sued.
Howell as in H-O-W-L?
I think the camera company's called H-O-W-E-L.
Exactly, so you're fine. Yeah, I'm really sure that they would sue the independent band from Chicago.
Well, you know, that's just the consensus with the band. But we don't have a singer, and we're actually... next week, we're going to audition, I guess, which isn't really an audition.
Really?
A singer who is in a band, and I can't remember the name, but their band just broke up, and I heard his demo CD, and he's really, really good. He kind of has this sort of, Muses kind of sound to him.
Oh,
but not
God.
Nearly as... Well, I don't want to say not nearly as good.
Is it operatic?
Right, exactly. Okay. More bluesy. So I'm excited for that.
So when I first met you, for a long time, you wanted to be in a band, but were not in a band.
Right.
Why is that?
Let's see. A lot of the stuff I did musically was more in the studio and more like for the film scoring sort of genre. So it wasn't really, you know, I didn't play keyboards to be in a band. And then I just didn't know any musicians and I didn't know any, anyone that just wanted to jam really. So I just kind of did my thing and then, you know, that's all it was. And I'm a horrible self-promoter. Like I would imagine that if I did meet a musician back then, definitely not now, but back then they wouldn't know that I played. I just wouldn't tell them. I don't know.
Well, how did you get into film scoring?
It's when I was like 8, I saw the movie The Last of the Mohicans.
Okay.
I thought that the score was awesome.
So like most 8-year-olds, you were inspired by Last of the Mohicans and decided, I want to score a film.
Right.
So like, seriously, like how did this come about?
I don't know. I guess it all comes to when I started playing keyboard, the piano. Like I didn't really, we never had an acoustic piano just because, you know, we were poor and we didn't have a lot of space. And my great aunt actually lent me her keyboard when I was like about 8 and a half because she bought a brand new digital grand piano, and I'd go over there constantly and play it, and you know, and I'd just be gone for hours. So, because I was a really easy kid to take care of.
So how long? So when it was the first time you had your own piano or keyboard?
When I was 12. 13. Okay.
So you were you self-taught the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
So you've never taken a lesson?
I took lessons for about 2 years. My piano teachers always hated me because I wouldn't practice.
Okay. And, but could you read music?
I can sort of read music because I played saxophone in high school, so I can sort of read music. Like if, you know, I can read like chord structures and things like that, but I can't really like sight read. You couldn't put something in front of me and I could be like, oh, okay, I can play it.
When was the last time you played saxophone?
Oh, geez.
So not recently?
No, like 10 years maybe.
Why did you stick with keyboards and not saxophone?
Well, I was always better at keyboards than I was at saxophone. Like, saxophone I started playing when I was 14, so versus...
That's really young, though.
Piano at 8.
Yeah, compared to 8, yeah, I know, I mean, but...
And, like, playing sax was more... It wasn't something that I didn't really improvise on the saxophone. It was more, like, for concert band. So it wasn't anything that I, you know, I stuck to.
Well, when you were playing... What town did you grow up in?
In Lindstrom, Minnesota.
How big is Lindstrom, Minnesota?
It was about... Well, when I grew up there, it was about 1,500 people. So
Oh, my God.
Now it's about... 2,500 maybe.
Jesus. Yeah. So like, you said you were poor, but like, what does that mean in Lindstrom, Minnesota? Does that mean like you didn't have the nicest trailer? Does that mean you didn't have the nicest house?
No.
I mean, like, what is poor there?
Well, we just didn't have. I should correct that. We weren't poor, but we didn't have a lot of disposable income, so it was like, okay, you know, like I guess we weren't rich. This should be the better definition. We're like, oh, my kid's 8. I'm gonna buy him a piano. Like, we didn't really have that kind of those kinds of resources.
Okay.
But, I don't know. It's just growing up in a small town is interesting from a lot of perspectives, and I think that one of them is you sort of are, I don't know where
sort
I was
sort of what? I don't know. Sort of insular, sort of what?
You're kind of, you know, boring a lot of the times, or bored, I should say. There's not a lot to do, and you're, you know, and I think for me, playing the piano was because I grew up in a small town.
Like, do you think you would have played piano if you grew up where you live now?
I don't know. Probably not. I'd probably be dead.
Why would you be dead?
I don't know.
All right, that's fair. Absolutely. Whatever. So what got you to Chicago from Lindstrom, Minnesota?
I went to school at Columbia College.
So you chose to go there?
Yeah.
You went for music?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Your job now has nothing to do with music. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
Okay, so how you went to Columbia for music what?
Music composition.
Are you glad you went?
To do film scoring.
Did you graduate with music composition, like, as a degree or whatever?
No, well, I went there for a year, and then I ran out of money, and I decided to... I worked at Guitar Center, and I was like, okay, I'll take a year off, save money, get my loans in order, and that kind of thing, and then I'll go back. So then I took a year off, and while I was at Guitar Center, I met a lot of, like, graduates from Columbia that were, like, working at Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, waiting tables, and I'm like, shit, I'm paying $7,000 a year to, or a semester to go to this school, and I'm going to be broke, you know, that's the only thing it's going to afford me. And I thought to myself, like, if I want to do music, I can do it without having to get an education.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, do you think you've learned, did you learn anything that first year?
Not really, no. I made good friends, and, you know.
I mean, besides that, I mean, like, you could have made those friends at Guitar Center, you could have made those friends at Starbucks, but.
Right.
Do you think that you learned anything about film scoring that you couldn't have learned on your own?
Honestly, no. I think, but in retrospect, if I would have stuck to it, I probably would have learned a lot more than I could have. And
okay.
I think, you know, at that time, I was sort of thinking that, like, you know, everyone sort of has the same cards that are being dealt to them. And, like,
yeah.
I was like, well, you know, Columbia just isn't going to do it for me because I didn't think that, you know, I could really utilize it.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, I think that if I was a really, you know, if I was the person I am now, like, business-minded and somebody that is motivated to do it, I probably would have been successful, but... in Columbia's circuit, but I think that I just sort of took a different path.
Well, okay, so you did take a different path. So you Columbia year, then Guitar Center, then what?
Then DePaul.
So you went to DePaul for what?
For accounting and finance.
Why did you go from Was it simply like, there's literally money in the name of this program, I will make some?
Honestly, yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I knew that accounting would be a safe choice, and I think that I was like, well, I want to find a job where I can, you know, go to the job at 9, leave at 5, and never have to think about it and not care about it.
Is that the kind of job you have now?
Oh, absolutely, and I love it.
I love really? It.
Yeah. And it's also stable. Like, there's, you know, I could find a job anywhere, you know. If I was working in the service industry, yeah. You know, there might be something that, you know, there could be rough times and I could not, you know, be able to, I could lose my job. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I felt like I wanted to be safe and I wanted to always be able to afford the things that I wanted to afford.
And you're glad you did that.
I am. Yeah, definitely.
That's good.
Definitely.
I think that's kind of rare right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially for a musician.
Do you think that you'd be... I don't know if you're happy or sad. I'm not going to get into that. But do you think you'd be as fulfilled if you weren't playing piano still?
If I was not?
Yeah.
No.
How much do you feel like... How often do you play?
At least every day.
You play every day?
Yeah.
How long usually?
It depends. I think, you know, sometimes if I'm working on something, like working on a project, and I guess I don't really practice like scales and arpeggios.
Yeah.
It's more like I'm writing or composing. So.
Okay.
You know, it could be anywhere from a couple of hours to an hour. Like, if I want to, sometimes I won't play at all. I'll just do more tweaking stuff and like listening and trying to get, you know, different effects things going on and that sort of thing.
What about piano draws you more than, say, the saxophone or guitar or whatever? Is it just because that was the first thing you played?
Initially, but one of the main reasons why I like the piano now is that I'm a huge technology geek, like, especially when it comes to music. And I think that piano is sort of the instrument that allows you to play multiple other instruments. Like, if you wanted to play a violin, you could play it on a keyboard, you know. And if you have a decent sound, if you have a decent, like, sound module, or if you have a decent piece of software to replicate the sound of a violin, then, you know, you can play a violin. So,
do you feel like technology has helped you in this aspect or not? Or do you feel like you would have still loved piano if it was 1977?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would have been a little bit more, you know... you know, focused on learning the notes on the piano.
Okay.
If it was 1977, because there's something about playing the piano that I love, you know, and it's like playing an acoustic piano is brilliant. Like, it's kind of a way to, it's sort of like a, you know, I don't know if you've ever done that where you're writing down your thoughts and you just kind of keep writing them and writing them and writing them. And that's like playing the piano for me, because it's sort of like everything seems to happen, you know, right on the spot. You know, it's improvisation essentially. Like, nothing's really calculated. Nothing's really, you know, practice. You just sort of just play.
So, if you're into improvising on piano, are you into, like, jazz music mostly, or no?
Yeah, I like jazz a lot. I like playing jazz. I'm not very good at it, because there's a lot of chords and stuff.
What's good versus bad? I mean, does it have to be complicated? Does it have to be simple? Is it melodic? I mean, what kind of jazz is it?
That's a good question.
I know I'm very good at asking them.
You should run a podcast.
I should. I won't, though. That's just stupid. There's no money in that.
I think that, like, good is at so many different levels. But, like, when it comes to jazz, I would say good to me is defined by technical, because there's nothing about. I mean, jazz music is sort of like, you know, not to knock it, but it's like showing off how many chords I can play at the same time, or like how I can improvise different scales and, you know, utilize all these different things. And, like, to me, I've never really been very good at the whole, you know, technical side of that, and that's why I would say that I'm not very good at playing jazz. But
when you were working, going back a little bit, when you were working at Guitar Center, were you in the piano department, or were you just like a sales guy? How does it work there?
I was in the high tech department, which includes keyboards and pro audio.
So, like, did you just play keyboards all day at work?
Yeah.
So, in a way, this is like a dream job.
It was. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, sorry. I just realized, like, wait. You worked at Guitar Center. We need to go over that. And sorry about that.
That's all right.
Going back to the band thing, when was the first band you've been in? Was it last year or was it the year before?
The first band I've been in?
The first show you've played with a band in Chicago as a keyboardist.
It was May of last year.
Okay, so you haven't been in May of 08?
Yep.
So it hasn't even been a year yet.
Mm-mm.
Do you find it now that you're playing live, when you're at home, are you playing differently? Do you think about it differently?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it helps your... That's the one thing that I realized, is that no matter if the band's really shitty, you know, or if the band's really good, or if you guys don't play a lot, or, you know, it's never a waste of time or a waste of money, because it, you know, as a musician, it's like if you immerse yourself in these different avenues of music versus composing or playing with a band, you're learning, you know, and it's all like I'm a better composer, I think, because I play in a band.
Okay, you say you're a better composer. So, like, does that mean what you're going to write for those bands or what you're going to write for yourself?
What I'm going to write for myself.
What do you, okay, the music that you write for yourself, what do you do with it?
Well, that's a great question. Not much, actually.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm sort of, I think I have like some sort of a psychological hurdle with it that I'm.
Well, that's normal. I think that's very normal. Let's go into that more. You say it's like, so how long have you been recording your own stuff?
Oh, God. Since I was 12.
Okay, since you were 12. So 14 years of recording your own stuff.
Right.
Have you released any of it?
I have like a website, you know, that I use.
Okay, well, what, like, where can people find that?
Oh, it's www.jeremytromberg.com.
And the name is, if you look on your iPod now, that's spelled correctly. Unless I fuck it up and
mess right. With you. Oh, yeah, it's just myname.com. It's
okay, so have you put any of that on iTunes? Have you made a MySpace page? Have you?
I did have a MySpace page. I had four friends on it for a while. I haven't logged in about a year and a half.
Yeah, that's normal.
I'm a horrible self-promoter.
There's a difference between like laziness and nervousness. I mean, there's always a reason why people don't like to self-promote.
Right.
So what's yours?
It's a combination of the two, actually, laziness and nervousness. I don't know.
But
I think
you've been in at least three bands at this point, so it's obviously not right. Just a laziness thing.
In a year. Well, yeah, I think that, I don't know, it's sort of like the, I felt like, you know, to analyze it, what's the word I'm looking for? As an analogy, it's sort of like I'm the guy that stands by the wall and waits for girls to talk to him.
Okay.
Rather than the guy that like is like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, but you know? Okay.
That's sort of my thing, and I'm learning that's not very effective to do it that way. So that's part of the process that I'm going through now in my own head. Where like, okay, I really got to get started on doing this.
But now that you're playing with these other bands, do you find yourself more willing to just like let other people listen to your own stuff?
Yeah. Hugely.
Ideal world, what happens to those songs? Do you form a band so they can play them live? Do you just have studio releases? Do you what happens?
Well, I really wanted, again, to get into the film
scoring. Okay, industry. Okay.
So a lot of the stuff that I do is more for film score, for TV commercial scoring, video game scoring.
But would you actually want to score a TV commercial, or would you want to score a film?
I would want to score a film.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
What have you done to make that happen?
Better question would be, what am I doing?
Okay, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I just recently joined ASCAP, which is the American Society
of Composers
and Performers. And I started a business, actually, which is just Jeremy Tromberg Publishing, which, you know, I have a tax ID and I'm registered in Illinois. And what the business does is anything that goes through ASCAP. Because what ASCAP is they are kind of like a royalty distribution company. So I registered with this website called MusicSupervisor.com, which is I can upload my music to that website, and it's sort of like a warehouse of music where people that are making films or TV shows or commercials, they can kind of shop around and look for a score they want to use. And when if they decide to use your score, they can pay a royalty, or they do pay a royalty to Music Supervisor, and then Music Supervisor distributes that royalty to you. So, but in order to do that, you need to have a publishing company set up. So I set up a publishing company, joined this website. I haven't uploaded anything yet, but I signed a contract, the whole thing. So for me, the only reason why I did that is to kind of keep my name out there. Because like, and on the description of what kind of song it is, I'm going to have my website, you know, I'm going to have, you know, for more information, contact information, all of that stuff. Because I feel like even if they don't use it, at least they have, you know, they're like, oh, I really like this for something else. You know, maybe I'll get a hold of this person. So that's really part of it.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's a very proactive step. I mean, what have you... Okay, but you've also went to Columbia.
Right.
So, like, have you tried to score a student film? Do you want to have anything to do with that, or do you think that's a waste of time?
I've scored a few student films from people that I've known at Columbia. And it's fun to do. I mean, I love doing it, but, it's more of a circumstance thing, I think. I'm really bad at... And I'm getting a lot better, but back in my college days, I was a little really bad at getting a hold of people, it was really hard to get a hold of me, and I still am that way to some degree, as Brandon's.
We've had to reschedule this interview a few times. That's okay, though. I've had to cancel on people because of my computer shitting itself, so.
But I think that's has a lot to do with it. Plus, I am sort of a shy person, so it's really hard for me to ask for favors, and I always feel like, you know, I don't know why, but if I want to collaborate with somebody, like if someone has a film and they want it scored, like I always feel if I ask them, can I score it? I feel like I'm asking them for a favor.
Why is that? If anything, you're doing them a favor.
I don't know. It's just it's a mental thing, I guess. I don't know.
What do your parents think about you like going to a big city? How far away is that town in Minnesota from Chicago?
It's about 8 hours.
So how do they feel about you traveling 8 hours to learn how to score films?
Oh, they loved it.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, they're really supportive.
That's not the norm, I'd say.
No, not at all.
That's wonderful.
No, my parents are really cool. They were really cool about that, and they were just like, they're just like, go do your thing, you know, follow your dreams. And at the same,
what did they think about when you dropped out? Not dropped out, but what did they think about when you work in a Guitar Center for a year and then decided to become a finance major?
You know, they kind of were like, I guess it's always been this way, because I went to a performing arts high school.
Really? I didn't know that.
Junior and senior year. And I stayed in a dorm down there, and I, you know, so I didn't really live at home my junior and senior year. I kind of, it was like a lot like college, actually, but we had a 10:30 curfew. But I think, so my parents were always sort of, I was always sort of independent of them, and they kind of were like, you know, hey, you know, we're your parents if you need us for stuff. Like
but hey, we're your parents.
I don't know, like it wasn't. They weren't very involved, you know, in the sense of like they're trying to steer me. Like the decision to go to DePaul for accounting and finance was completely mine, you know. And my mother was actually against it, and my father was for it.
Why was your mother against it?
Well, she's like, no, you should really, you know, do music. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's odd. Okay, so the bands that you're in now.
Yes.
You're not writing the songs. Am I correct on this?
I don't write any of the songs.
Why is that?
Because I don't know. I just don't.
No desire to, or do you feel uncomfortable?
Probably. I would say no desire to.
Why is that? But then why be in the band?
Because I like to support, you know, support the singer-songwriter, basically. That's kind of that's why I love doing it. I love, you know, I like the position that I'm in as a performer, I guess, would be one that's more kind of the supporting role rather than the lead.
So in an ideal world, you're like a Danny Elfman.
Right.
You're a guy that was in a band, but now you're scoring a shitload of films.
I love Danny Elfman, so yeah, that's awesome. The greatest compliment ever.
Okay. No. Do you want to switch topics here or no?
Sure.
Okay. You work at a video game company.
Yes, I do.
But you work in the finance department, yes?
I actually do their taxes.
You do their taxes. Why a video game company and why not somewhere like, I don't know, in the loop where you can make a shitload of money and do a bunch of blow?
Well, as much as I'd love to do that, I decided, honestly, the reason why I'd work there because I love video games. And,
okay, like, what are your perks at a video game company? Let's be honest here. I mean,
I can wear a sweatshirt and jeans to work every day. And,
but like, do you get all the free video games you want that they have?
Yeah. So I mean, it's not like I can pick and choose, but sometimes they'll have extra promotional copies that they'll, you know, give away.
How long have you been working there?
What, 2.5 years?
Do you find it any like more interesting than it would be any other company besides like the sweatshirt and occasional video game?
No, not really, actually.
Yeah, so I mean, what's the incentive for going there?
The sweatshirt, the free video game. I mean, that's a huge perk, honestly, because I'm not a suit and tie kind of guy.
Yeah, but also I don't think I don't know this that much about you, but you're not like super obsessed with video games either.
No, I used to be, but not since I started working there. Ironically.
Yeah.
But, no, I think that it's a cool company to work for. They do something interesting. Like, they're not making brake pads or, you know, manufacturing.
Yeah, that's true. They are not making brake pads.
You know what I mean? So, in that sense, it's cool. But, like, taxes is taxes, you know, and I could really work anywhere and not care. It's all the same to me. Like, it's, you know, I mean, there's nothing, no matter how cool a company is, like, it's not going to look interesting on a 1040, you know.
That's true. When you just initially decided to do this degree, you just did it for like the security and the money,
right?
Are you glad you did that?
Yeah, because I have the exact same attitude about it.
Do you think that's going to change ever?
No.
Why?
Well, my whole plan was to go to college to find a job where I can support myself so I could focus on my music.
You never thought like I could actually just, my job could be music?
My job could be music?
Yeah.
Eventually.
Besides Guitar Center, because that doesn't count.
Right. Eventually, that is what I want, but I think that there's a lot of, you know, I'm kind of more of an entrepreneur than I am like a, you know, I'm not an entrepreneur, but like, what I meant to say is that like, I'd rather do something on my own with it than, you know, be an in-house composer for somebody, you know, and I think that like having that freedom I realized it.
Wait. Why don't you want to be an in-house composer? When you say in-house composer, like, that means like the guy that does like CSI or something. Yes? No? Right. Am I completely off on this?
What they do, like, you'll have a composing, you know, place, and they'll hire composers, interns and apprentice composers that'll go in there, and, you know, it'll be like, hey, we scored this, we need you to, you know, write 30 seconds of this or change it into something, and, you know, or orchestrate this for me. It's kind of like a, you know, it's just like the corporate side. You know, you have to work your way up into the business and, mm-hmm. you know, eventually get to become a main composer. But I just didn't want to do that because I wanted something that I could kind of start from the ground up myself. And
is there any way you can keep doing this and achieve your like goal of scoring films in Chicago, or do you have to move to LA?
Well, Chicago. I think Chicago's pretty big with the with TV commercials. I think LA is really big with TV shows and definitely movies. But I think that I could. I mean, I really haven't really thought about moving to LA. I wouldn't want to move to LA.
I hope you don't. No offense.
I hope I don't either. It's like, I don't like things wrapped in cellophane.
But like, I don't know. I do like things wrapped in cellophane. They're delicious. You know, it's wonderful because we're like 25, 26 minutes into this, and we've only touched upon like two of the things that are on this list of things we're going to talk about. And I think it's perfect. You're wonderful. I think I'm going to save the rest till next time, and I think we're going to close this up with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD.
The Kids Book of Questions.
This is a great fucking book. I highly recommend it. So, Jeremy, pick a number between 1 and 260.
182.
It's a good number. I still don't think we've hit the same number twice. So that's wonderful. Episode 30. All right. Have you ever, without telling anyone, let someone beat you at a game you could have easily won? If so, why?
Yes, for sex.
That is a completely great answer. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for
having me. I'll have you back later. Good luck with all the bands. Tell all those guys hi.
I will.
I actually know them. They're great. I'm excited to see the guys from Cadillac Rope and Lasers and Fast and Shit, because those are two bands that are fucking great. Go see them live if you can. Do you have any shows booked or no?
We might have a show in May at the Dark Room.
That is a Sunday night thing.
I think. Well, it's for his wife. She has she runs up an apparel shop, and they're having like a grand reopening. But
I will tell me about that so I can plug that on the show once you find out, because that'll be a great show. I will be there. I love those bands. I haven't yet to see you play because every time you play, it's a Saturday night, and I'm at work. So. I would love to see you play. We're going to close this episode with a song from Otter Petter, because they are playing on Monday, March 23rd at the Hungry Brain. It's the first You, Me, Them, Everybody night. And it's 21 and over, 8 p.m. start time. No cover, donation requested. And they're not going to be playing their normal set, so it'd be wonderful if you can come out. Once again, thank you to Jeremy. For any information you might possibly ever need, go to youmethemeverybody.com and have a wonderful day. Just go.